Well, how many know what Sunday it is? Thank goodness we have about 6 hours till kickoff, so I have plenty of time. You know, on regular Sunday is 1 o'clock usually, you know what I mean? So I got more time now. A lot of time. You know, the great thing about this kickoff, because we're kicking off a new series, okay? We're kicking off a new series called All In. All In, you know. And the great thing about this is it's warm in here. Okay, you're in a warm setting, you know, and we didn't charge you $1,000. Okay, I mean, you know, we didn't charge you $1,000, and we played the great music up front. Okay, you didn't have to wait till halftime, because, you know, my wife will watch the Super Bowl for one thing. Halftime. Halftime. Yeah, well, the commercials, yeah. But isn't this a better setting? I mean, it's just a better setting. You know, we get to kick off, I get to kick off this new series about being all in. All in. How many are all in? You're all into something. I know that. That's for sure. You know, some guys are into cars. How many guys are into cars? You know, I love those car guys. You know, when you get together with them, is all you're talking about is cars. And then there's the people that are all into money. You know, all into money, talking about finances. And one of the other stuff we can be into, you know. I mean, we're just into so much music. Yeah, let's get all into music. You know, I saw watch this great special called, you know, The British Invasion, the music of the 60s. Yeah, 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 yeah. You know, that was my era, the 60s. So, you know, I just love all that, whatever you're into. But you know, here, we really want to get you into God. You know what I mean? Because we know that's where you need to go. That's become I want to get you. My thing that I'm into is God. I'd rather talk about God than anything. You know, it annoys my wife sometimes, you know, when I'm off in a corner talking to somebody about God, you know what I mean? Instead of football. But I just love, I don't know, somehow in my DNA, I was created to talk about God, to love God with all my heart. My name is David. You know what I mean? My name is David. And he is a man after God's own heart. And my parents named me David. It must have been out of, they weren't Christians, but oh my gosh. I mean, I just love God. You know, and I'm not good. Really, I'm pretty bad. And like the rest of you. But I love God, you know, and there's no barriers between me and God. No barriers. Oh, when you learn that, there's no barriers, only ones I make in my mind. You know, oh, God's so mad at me today. Not. He loves me. He loves me. He loves me. He loves me. Everything about me. I can say that to you so strongly, with absolute confidence, you know, and it's not being cocky. It's just being fully persuaded that nothing can separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. And I didn't always know that. You know, I never had a vision for my life before this. And I want to go to the book of Ezekiel. But before that, Ron has a scripture that I got this morning. We're going to go to Ezekiel. But in 2 Corinthians, it says, for we know that if this tent or this house is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Eternal in the heavens. And that's the place we need to go. That's the place we went this morning, you know. We blocked out everything else, and we just, I know there was a battle sometimes to do it. There's kind of a battle, you know. I wonder if I turned off the toaster or the iron, you know what I mean? You know, there's just sort of a battle. What are we doing after church? I'm sort of hungry, you know what I mean? But we kind of press in, you know. We press in, and it takes a while to press into heavenly places. But that's a vision. Visionaries have that, and I want to be a prophetic visionary in the hour that takes you to that place. Through edification, exhortation, and comfort. That's a New Testament prophet, okay? And it's not a position, it's just you can be that too. You can take people out of their misery and take them to heavenly places in Christ. Amen? You know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking about? So here's Ezekiel. Here's Ezekiel in Ezekiel 47. It says in the first verse, it says, then he brought me back to the door of the temple. So He's always getting us back to that place of seeing heaven. See, this is not the earthly temple. This is the heavenly temple. And he's living, Ezekiel's living in a time, okay, you know, where they're in Babylonian captivity, all right? I mean, some of them are actually slaves. The Israelites are slaves, you know, and there's all kinds of debauchery going on and you know, all kinds of darkness and awful stuff. You know what I'm talking about? You've been there. And, you know, I mean, there's all kinds of, I mean, this isn't the first time there's been bad times. Okay. This is not the first time. And these are not the worst of times. Really. They really aren't. I mean, I could give you the statistics, and I saw them last night, but I forgot to write them down, about how many people are coming into the kingdom in this hour, like never before. I mean, but we always just get the bad news. You know what I mean? I mean, it's just, why are they always just giving us the bad news? But this is the good news. And Ezekiel is a visionary in this hour. And his name means to strengthen. That's what his name means, to strengthen. And God knows that he needs to strengthen the people in this hour with prophetic visions. He's the one that had the one with the wheel within the wheel. You know that one? There was a wheel within the wheel. What is that all about? I have no idea. I've heard many different interpretations of it, but not the same from everybody. You know what I mean? And, you know, the wheel. But he had the one with the dry bones. Can these dry bones live? Remember? They were dry bones. He had the vision in the valley, and these bones came to life. So he's giving them visions. He's taking their eyes off the situation and circumstances, and he says, look up. He says, look up. Look up. And here it is. It says, you know, Isaiah had visions. We know Isaiah. I saw the Lord. See, that same place. He wants to take you to a higher vision. Come up here. And John said in the book of Revelation, come up here. I want to show you. And then he showed Jesus, you know, with his hair white as wool, you know, and his eyes a flame of fire, that fire of love, love. I love you. I love you. I love you. You know what I mean? That's the fire. It's not anger. It's love. It's the fire of love. It's a passion, his passion for you. And he proved it. You know, he proved it. I mean, what about Stephen? Stephen, we talked about Stephen a couple weeks ago. Acts 7:55. You know, I'm just going to read it. It says, being full of the Holy Spirit. My favorite word. Full. Full of the Holy Spirit. He gazed where? At the people who were throwing stones at him? No, he gazed into heaven. See, when circumstances of life are coming up to against you, the first place you need to look is up. You know, you need to look up. You need to look up. He says he gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God. Whew. The glory of God. What's the glory of God? Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. That's the glory of God in the New Testament, I'm telling you. The most glorious event in human history is Jesus standing in heaven at the right hand of the Father. And it's a redemptive revelation. See, that's a redemptive. I never had a vision for my life. Before I came to Christ, July 17, 1979. You all know that date. You know, I never had a vision. I never had a vision for children. You know, 10 kids later. No, it's seven. That's right. Seven kids later. You know, I never had a vision for ownership of a home. A decent car. I never had a vision for my life. I was some kind of honky-tonk stardust cowboy. You know what I mean? Hey. Wow. You know, I mean, you know, no vision. And I came into, you know, Jesus came into my life in the 60s movement, you know, Jesus movement in the 60s. And he gave me a vision. A vision for my life. To be a man of God and a husband and a dad. And, you know, to own a home and to you know, have new cars, even if I had to finance them, you know what I mean? And I mean, it was just the vision. It's a redemptive revelation that in the midst of darkness and difficulty, God can change things. Amen? That's what we carry. That makes us a prophetic people that can go to the guy at work and say, hey, God loves you. You know, my son always said to me, you know, I do a lot of funerals. Because people don't have ministers anymore. And the guys call me from Stroud and different places. And my son says, how can you do a funeral that nobody, that you don't know? And I said, it doesn't matter if I know them. God knows them. God knows. He knows every hair in their head. God knows them. So here he is, and he brought me back. Bring us back. Keep going back to the temple. The throne room, I call it the throne room revelation, where you gaze. Gaze. You just gaze. Chapter Revelation 1, chapter 1 through 3. God, I haven't got any farther. I don't know what all that other stuff means. I'm here to tell you. I don't know the interpretation of all that stuff. But I know that he's sitting on the throne. He's sitting on the throne right there. And he says, water flowing under the... And there was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple toward the east. Oh, no, there's a leak in the house of God. Call the plumber. Frozen pipes. Yeah, you know what I mean? No, this is a spiritual... Heaven is perfect, folks, okay? See, now, in the regular temple, they did have pipes that they for the washing of the sacrifice in that. But this is a different source here. It says, from the front of the temple facing east, and the water was flowing underneath the right side of the temple, south of the altar. And he brought me out by the way of the north gate and led me around the outside of the outer gates that faced east, and there was water running out from the temple. So there's this water running, and it just starts as a trickle. What does Jesus say? I am the living water. I am the way. I am the water of life. See, this is a picture of Jesus releasing the gospel. You know, releasing the gospel. And it starts from the throne room right there. And it says, and then a man went out of the east with a line in his hand and measured 1,000 cubits. That's really far. I don't know how far it is, but and he brought me through the water, and the water came up to my ankles. Are you in? Are you in? Are you wading into this? You know, I mean, this series is about being all in, and you know, when the gospel was just released, it began to be a trickle. You know, I mean, it just began to be a trickle. And there was this release of the good news. And you know, it's also a picture of your own spiritual life. How you get into this. You know, you sort of wade in. You know? You sort of wade into this. I mean, I didn't just jump in. You know, I waded into this. Well, you know, I mean, I remember the first Friday night Bible study I went to instead of going to the bar. And... I mean, I felt so out of place. Oh, my gosh. These people were so holy, you know, and they knew the Bible so well. I knew nothing, you know, but they loved me. They loved me. Even when I was smoking and, you know, had hair down on my back. And, you know, I mean, they loved me. And I was with my girlfriend, who's now my wife, and they didn't judge us. You know what I mean? See, we just step in. People are just stepping into this river of life. Just stepping into the river of life. And, you know, the New Testament, it's about our spiritual walk. And the New Testament picture of this is in Ephesians 6:15. Because, you know, I go back to the Old Testament to find Jesus. That's what I go back to the Old Testament for. I don't look there to find judgment or, you know, all these. I just go there to find Jesus. Because in the volume of a book, it's written of him. He's everywhere in the book. He's everywhere in the book. But the New Testament version is Ephesians 6. It says right here. It says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against riches, rulers of darkness of this age, spiritual wickedness, a host of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take on, it says right here, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So the first thing that strengthens our walk is to step into this river to strengthen our feet and ankles. So we can stand. I mean, I could barely stand, really, when I came to the Lord. But we step in at this, and it prepares us. Stepping into the river at that level really begins to prepare us for the rest of our Christian walk. It really prepares us for the rest of our Christian walk. Go back to Ezekiel. Back to Ezekiel. So then he says, Again, he measured 1,000 units, verse 4, and he brought me through the waters, and the waters came up to my knees. Whew. Weak knees. You know, ever have weak knees? You know, you've been that scared? You're trembling? See, he brings you in at a deeper level. See, to strengthen you. What does Ezekiel mean? To strengthen. And that's what we do in church. We're always trying to get you in deeper, aren't we? You know, enter in. It's all about you. A thing of your will to enter in. I mean, when we have worship, you could check out or enter in. You know, I choose to enter in. I've learned how to enter in. I've learned to overrule my thought life. You know, I've been saved 20-some years. How many years have I been saved? Judy? Oh, she's not here this morning. She keeps all the dates for the kids' birthdays, for how long I've been saved, how long we've been married. You know, but you know, I mean, it begins to strengthen you in your walk. You know, it says right there, he says, he brought me in to my knees, and again he measured, and he brought me through the water, and it came up to my waist. Now you're getting in. Oh boy. Now you're really getting in, you know. You're really getting into that place where you feel the strength of God strengthening your loins, your resolve, you know, strengthening your back, you know. And that's what we need. We need to get in deeper and deeper. And we're encouraging you. I'm a man of God with a prophetic vision that your life is going to be better the more you get into this. And I'm not promoting church, okay? Yeah, I'm not promoting church. It's getting into God. Did I scare the baby? Oh, no. I'll stay away from her. It is her. That is pink. It is. Are we dedicating her now? She's so cute. Wow. So, so we're at that place. And what does it say? In Ephesians, this New Testament picture of it, deeper, immersed in God. Was it in verse, 6:17? It says, so we're in up to our waist, and we have our feet shod. We're in over our ankles, okay? And it says over here in verse 17, and take on the helmet of salvation. Oh, over our heads. I'm over my head, you know what I mean? I'll never forget when I got the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Oh, the devil said to me, now you're going crazy. Woo! Oh my gosh. I said, I don't care. I'm going. I'm going all the way. I'm just going in. I'm going. You know, it's like the iced tea plunge. You ever see the iced tea plunge back there? Whew. I'm in. How many are you guys in this? I'm in. I mean, either you're in or out, and I'm all the way into this. I am. That's who I am. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I take my Bible into public places, scare people. You know, remember I said I prepared that message at Mufflers for Less? You know, because you got to redeem the time because the days are evil. So they got an hour there. And like I said, I didn't want to watch Wendy Williams because I don't get that show. You know, I mean, what is that all about? But anyway, so I'm sitting there, and, you know, people are, like, moving over. You know what I mean? Uh-oh, you know what I mean? Like, you're going to, like, preach at them, you know what I mean? Hand them a track, you know. Here are the, you know, 5, 6, 7 house spiritual laws. I forget how many laws there are. You know, how many laws are there now? You know, it's not about laws. It's about love, okay? It's all about love. Thank God we've learned it's not about laws. You know, if they took every 10 commandments down from every building, all right, it wouldn't matter. We fight about the wrong things, folks, okay? It's not a political, that's a political spirit, all right? Oh my gosh, I could get in trouble now. But anyway, all right, because not about the 10 commandments, there's only 2 commandments. To love the Lord your God with your whole heart, your whole strength, your whole mind. Get in this thing over your head and love your neighbor exactly the same way. Whew. Oh, my gosh, you got to get into this. You got to jump into this, you know. I mean, I'm into this. I used to be into sin big time. I mean, really, I was really into that, you know. I didn't have a good thought, you know what I mean. But, I mean, I'm, you know, I'm into this. It says, pray. Okay, here it is. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. What? It strengthens our mind. That's what strengthens our mind. Ezekiel, he strengthens your mind to think the right thoughts. I mean, I was a walking contradiction, partly truth and partly fiction. Bob Dylan said that. And, you know, I mean, I was thinking, you know, this over here and this over here. My mind was scattered in the whole thing. But when you memorize God's word, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. I am the head and not the tail. You know what I mean? That's how I quit smoking. You know, I put that little Bible in front of my pack of cigarettes. And every time I reached for a cigarette, the Bible was there. So it was a little tug of war. You know what I mean? So he says, you strengthen it with the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The Word of God is powerful. It's just powerful. You know, just changing your thought process, changing who you are. You know, changing who you think you are, who you're supposed to be. You're a man and woman of God. Called your prophetic person. And we're not talking about Old Testament prophecy. We're talking about New Testament people called to our edification, exhortation, and comfort those around them with the strength of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it says right there, it says, praying always. Uh-oh. Prayer meetings. You know, I mean, really, when you're into this, you're going to prayer meetings. You know, there's a prayer meeting, I'm there. You know, I mean, I love prayer meetings. I go to prayer meetings. I mean, it's just what I was created to be, and I was filling all that other time with all kinds of other stuff, you know? But I'm called to pray no matter where I am, no matter what I'm doing, no matter what I'm into. You know, I mean, when I was driving truck, my cab was a prayer closet. It was a prayer closet. But you can pray at all times, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So deeper and deeper you're getting into this. Deeper, praying always, Bible studies, worship events. Oh my gosh. Now you've really gone too far. You know, Megan's having worship events at her house. Oh my gosh, you know, and not Super Bowl parties, but you know, I mean, where we can enter into a little greater intimacy with the Lord. They call it couch worship. And so our houses become temples, churches, you know, I mean, it's a place that we're all into this. Just, and you know what? The neighbors know. I got to cross my door. Jesus is Lord. You know? I mean, they know. They know. And I don't have to talk about it. If they want it, they come talk to me about it. You know? I mean, you know, I'm driving bus for Kenston, a van for Kenston, and they know. So if they have questions, they come to me. You know, it's great. They just come to me. I don't have to say anything. You know, they just know, and I'm telling you, they're coming. They're coming. It says prayer meetings, worship events, immersed in the river of God. Go back to Ezekiel 47, verse 6. And he said to me, son of man, that's you. That's you, men and women. Son of man, have you seen this? Am I opening your eyes to this? Do you see this vision, this revelation? A redemptive revelation that all things are possible. All things, I mean, it changes everything when you have a heavenly vision. I mean, look at Stephen. He's being stoned to death. And what does he say? The first outcome of that. Father, do not hold us to their charge, this sin. That's what a redemptive revelation does in every situation. When you look to heaven instead of to your circumstances, to earth, that's what a redemptive revelation does. That's the vision you need to carry in your heart. All things are possible. These people were in tight spots. John was in a tight spot when he saw this. On the Isle of Patmos, I mean, it was difficult times. It was very difficult times. He says, have you seen this, Son of Man? Have you seen this? I want to close your eyes and see this. Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. Standing at the right hand of the Father. You know what it took to get him there. See, we have to exercise our spiritual imagination. See, these things came out of the East, and the East is speaking of Christian wisdom. This is wisdom. This is wisdom. This flow from God is the wisdom of God coming out of the throne and immersing you in this wisdom of God. It's immersing you in this wisdom of God. And he says, and then he brought me to return to the bank of the river. And when I returned there along the bank of the, there were many trees. Many trees. Oaks of righteousness. Oak River. Little plug for Oak River. Oak River. Yeah, you're a tree of righteousness. See, this is another picture of you by the banks of the river, drawing from that river of life. Roots going into that river. You know, when I was in Colorado at a mission trip in New Mexico, and I was standing on a mesa, and you saw the Colorado River. And you know how you could tell? All around it was absolute desert, but right along the river was all green. All green. Right up to the mountains. Right up to the mountains. That tree of life. That tree of life, not the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It's easy to know what's good and what's bad. We're the trees of life, where we give life. Where we give life. That's what it calls it. It says rivers on both sides of the city. The water flows toward the eastern river, eastern region, and goes down into the valleys. Even the valleys. How many people are in the valley of decision around you? How many people are in a valley of depression around you? How many young people are, you know, out there? Yeah, young people are, my favorite thing to pray for and think about. You know, they're struggling with identity. I think high school could be the scariest, meanest place on the planet. You know, I mean, it was for me back then. Do I belong? Don't I belong? Who can I sit with at the cafeteria? Who's going to accept me? Who's going to reject me? You know what I mean? They need to know. They need to know that they're loved and accepted in the beloved. They need a place of acceptance and love and unconditional love. That's here. That's by the river. It flowed in the valleys. It flowed there in the valleys and enters the sea. I mean, it's just flowing out to the sea. And when it reaches the sea, the water is healed. This is the healing property of that flow from heaven. The flow that you carry in your veins, the flow that you carry in your heart. It has healing properties. It brings healing. It brings healing. And it shall be that every living thing that moves, whether the rivers go, will live. Rivers of living water out of you shall flow. Rivers. Didn't Jesus say that? You become the river of life. You become the source of hope. You become the source of inspiration. Are you in this? Are you in it with me? Are you all in? That's who you are. That's your identity. That's a vision for yourself. No matter what you are, doctor, lawyer, you know, cowboy, whatever. You know they have a cowboy church in Eastlake? I think I'm going to join it. cowboy church. Look it up online. In Eastlake, they have cowboy church. Well, cowboys need the Lord. You know what I mean? We have any cowboys here this morning? No. So there he says, and he said, the water, they were healed, and it shall be that every living thing that moves, oh my gosh, this is reaches everything. There's nothing out of the reach of God, no person, no place. If he saved me, he can save anybody. And it says, and there were a very great multitude of fishes. Here we talk about, you know, we are fishers of men. And what's the sign of Christianity? A fish. Salvations. Every place it goes, there's going to be salvations. I can't tell you, there's more people getting saved in this hour than ever before. And where they go, and they will be healed, and everything will live where the river goes. That's a redemptive revelation right there. That's a vision. I mean, I know every church has a vision, but this is a Christian vision, God's vision. Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. It excites me so much. It makes me want to cry and dance at the same time. Whew. Releasing that power from the throne. Are you into this? Oh, just get into this. I'm telling you, I've never been more grateful to get into something. You know, and it shall be that the fishermen will stand by it from En-Gedi and En-Gallim, and there will be places for spreading their nets. The fish will be the same kinds as the fish of the great sea, exceedingly many. This is happening today. This is a prophecy for today. So you can look forward. So you can look forward. That's what kids need to do. They need to look forward. Forward. But, there's only one but. But the swamps and the marshy places will not be healed. That's the murky places. Places of unforgiveness. Places of anger. Resentment. Criticism. Those are the hardest places. The dark, murky places. We've all been there. We've all wrestled through those kind of places. Those are the places that hold back the healing power. They can't heal. The healing can't come when you're in unforgiveness and anger. I mean, there just isn't. It just can't go there. You know, we got to just let go and let God. And it says, and along the bank of the river on this side and that will grow all kinds of trees. For food, their leaves will not wither, their fruit will not fail. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering. That's you, trees of righteousness, oaks of righteousness. And you produce this fruit, love and joy and peace in the midst of captivity and darkness and barrenness. You're the one that in your workplace that, you know, hopefully, That's you know, that people can eat from that tree of life, not from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They don't come to you because they think they're going to judge you, but because you have life. You have life. We're almost done. And it says along the banks and on the side, there will go all kinds of trees used for food. Their leaves will not wither. Their fruit will not fail. This love never fails. This will not fail, folks. It's an unfailing love. Unfailing. Love never fails. That's all I can say. Love never fails. You know, prophecy will fail. This will fail. But love never fails. Keep loving. Keep loving. But you have to have that redemptive revelation. That when he's looking down on you with those flame eyes of fire, it's not judgment. It's love. It's love. It says they will bear fruit every month, because the water flows from the sanctuary. Oh, an outflow of God's love and mercy and grace. Great grace was on them all. Great grace was on them all. And they will be food and leaves for medicine. Whew. Oh, we need to take this when we're sick. You know, when I get sick, I go, as he is, so am I in this world. God's not sick, I'm not sick. And I know, you know, you have to work through symptoms and stuff like that. You know what I mean? But I do confess the word over myself. Confess the word over myself. You know, multitudes of fishes, multitudes. This is a redemptive revelation. This is what I want you to get into. Really, this is really what I want you to get into. And we're going to be doing this all this month, talking about, are you in? Are you into this? We're going to close at Revelation 21. You know it. This is the revelation that John gave. Doesn't it sound similar? Doesn't it sound similar to what Ezekiel had? It said, and he showed me a pure river of water. Pure river of water, of life. Quick water. It's called quick water. Clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and from the Lamb. Same revelation. Isn't it the same revelation that Isaiah had, the same revelation that Ezekiel had, the same revelation that Stephen had, the same revelation probably that Paul had when he was on the road to Damascus? He releases this. It's a mystery. It's an incredible mystery. I love the mystery of it. You know, we can't explain it theologically. We really can't explain the wheel within the wheel theologically. We can't explain all these things theologically. It's a beautiful mystery that sparks our spiritual imagination and gives us life. Whew. Oh, I love it. I was made for this stuff. I'm telling you, I was made for this stuff. Oh, man, I was so close to going New Age. But anyway, God snatched me out of that into the real thing. Into the real thing. And he said he showed me in the middle of its streets and on either side of the river was what? Same revelation, the tree of life. Oh, just picture yourself. Just close your eyes. Picture yourself as that tree of life, just taking your nourishment, taking your nourishment from the river of God, each yielding its fruit every month, month after month, continuously, life everlasting, no limit, yielding every month. You notice there's not a winter here? Springtime of your life. It's the springtime of your life. This is the first day of the rest of your spiritual life. It's unending. Whew. You don't have to wait to die to get to heaven. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I got a river of life flowing out from me. How many remember that one? Whew. I got a river of life flowing out from me. Makes the lame to walk and the blind to see, opens prison doors, sets the captives free. I got a river of life flowing out from me. Every month, yielding its fruit. Every month, the leaves of the trees were for what? The healing of the nations. You know, Cleveland is one of the most diverse populations in the nation. You can heal nations in the city of Cleveland. You can heal Italians and Ukrainians, and they need it so bad, those Italians, you know. And the Italians and Ukrainians and Polish people, and you can heal nations by who you're connected to. You can bring healing. The nation, Sandy and I, we live in a Czech community, you know, and she lived not far from me, within walking distance. And we can bring healing to that community. Healing to your community. Healing to the nations. And there shall be no more curse. Break curses. It breaks every curse. But the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it. And his servants shall serve him with joy. Amen. With joy. And his servants shall serve him. Oh, man, I mean, I just want you, really, to continue to read it.